Okay, let's see if we could pick up where we left off in terms of issues relating to the malachas of Tefer and Kareya. So there's a big question in the poskim about certain kinds of chiburim, certain kinds of connections, when they even are part of the malacha b'chlal. So there is a famous machlekes in the Gedolei poskim about pins. As you pin two things together, is that considered to be a problem, a potential malach of Tefer, and then unpinning things, would that be a potential malach of Kareya? So there's a Tiferes Yisrael that claims that maybe that's considered to be a malach. Maybe that's if you do two tkifas, if you go like a safety pin, you go through two pieces with a needle, so maybe that's considered to be a chashash of a Tefer, of a Tefer-based Tiferes. So there are others who say that the whole thing is la'ol dvar me'olam, that there's no such thing, the whole thing is that doesn't exist b'chlal. What's the svar to say that it's not considered to be a malacha b'chlal? So many poskim say that there's no merging together of the items. They don't fuse together, they don't merge together to become one, and whatever the two things are, just two things sitting next to each other, that's not considered to be a malacha. It's kind of hard to figure out exactly when, how precise you magda that. So that's what the Rabbi Isha writes, that same kind of a svar when it comes to zippers. So some of the poskim raise the question, maybe zipping should be a problem. So some of the poskim wanted to say that if you zipper something, like say you zipper your pants, so that's open and close it a few times during the day, so that's not considered to be malacha. That's at worst a tefirah shel Shel Kayama. But let's say you want to zip or unzip something for a long period of time. Let's say, for example, you want to zip the lining into your raincoat. It's the first of the cold Friday nights, and you have a raincoat, and you want to put the warmer lining inside, so you want to zip it in, it's going to last for a long time. Or you want to zip your talis bag closed, and you're not going to, it's a Shabbos talis, not going to open it again till next week. Or you want to unzip your talis bag, which has not been opened yet for an entire week, quite to something that's called already a chashash of kayama. So some achronim want to argue that's also considered to be a malacha, a potential malacha of Tefer and Kareya. And others disagreed, Moshe, others disagreed and said that there's no chibur, there's no connection, that's not considered to be a bechlal, even in the parish, even in the ballpark of the malacha of Kareya and Tefer. Other things that just move on to Elov and not Chashash of Tefer and Kareya. Buttons is obviously not considered to be a problem. Velcro, the assumption of, I think most of the postkim is that that's not considered to be Bechlal. That Velcro is just little hooks and things that are just almost closer to the mile of a button than it is to anything of really real connection. So probably all those things are not really concerns of Tefer and Kareya. Not everyone agrees to each one of those things, but that's probably what the halacha should be. When we talk about the Malach of Kareya, so Chazal described it in the Mishnah on Shabbos as being chayav when you're a kareya amanas litfar. You're only chayav min haTorah if you rip something with the intent of re-sewing it. And there's a major machlokes as to what exactly is that condition all about. Why is it so necessary to have that condition? So the truth is that that type of a condition appears by other malachas as well. We speak about mochek amanas lichto. We speak about so amanas livnos. We mentioned some Mishnah even say about malachas mafter amanas likshor. But in the Mishnah itself, so you do have a few of these references, a few of these mentions of different malachas that have this built-in condition amanas into them. And the question becomes, what is the nature of this halacha? So you can understand this requirement of amanas in one of two ways. If you even understand that it's not really doesn't really define the etzem malacha. The malacha is called kareya elohat. If you're not kareya amanas litfor, then you're going to be potter for another reason, because kol makal kliptur, the Mishnah says, Masech HaShavis, and of kufav kol makal kliptur, and anytime you do a malacha in a destructive manner, so by definition, it's going to be potter on Shabbos. So every kareya is always destructive. I'm ripping a shirt, it's not for no reason. So the Mishnah is trying to give you an example of what is considered to be a derech tikun, amanas litfor. If that's the pshat, so then amanas litfor is lav davka. Amanas litfor is an example, it's a pretty good illustration of a possibility of doing a kriya l'tayalas for a tita, but l'yitzuya and come up with another reason, another example, another illustration, that will also be chayiv. So according to this first understanding of amanas litfor, it's not an absolute, it's an example, it's the common example, but it's not the only example. Maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe the pshat amanas litfor is part and parcel of the very definition of the malach itself, that any act of kareya is not labeled as a malacha unless it's done mamish specifically for this intent. Where would this halacha come from? So as we've seen many times over, when you can't find any other malacha, just call it mishkan. Mishkan, that's in the mishkan. That's in the mishkan. So the kareya is in the mishkan, amanas litfor, then any malacha deraisa of kareya has to be dafka amanas litfor. According to that, if you do kriyas for other very, very good, positive, wholesome purposes, but it's not tachas amanasnit for, that cannot possibly be a deraisa. So this machlokes, this chakira really, this machlokes comes to a head in the beginning of Maseches Machlis, a very, very famous gemara. It's a gemara actually in the fourth parak of Shabbos and in the Maseches Machlis. It actually more belongs in Shabbos than it does in Machlis, but more people learned the first parak of Machlis than the fourth parak of Shabbos, so it became popular to have given Maseches Machlis. The gemara quotes a statement, totally kaliachayah, the gemara quotes it, no pun intended, but it was totally quoted out of, because it was said by the same Amor, who said 15 other things on the page. So, HaPasech Be'Satzava B'Shabbos is chayav. If a person opens up the whole neck of a piece of cloth, so he's chayav in Shabbos. What's the case, guys? This guy's got a big sheet and he wants to make himself an avakafas. He wants to make himself a talus katan. So he takes the scissors and he cuts a hole to fit his head inside. So boom, the Gemara says that's an isidera'i. So Pesach Be'Satzav B'Shabbos chayav. What do you chayav for exactly? Which malacha? So it's unclear in the Gemara. So the Rambam quotes this din of Pesach Be'Satzav in the Sugyas of Kareya, which leads us to believe Davar Lo Ben Yonah. The Rambam's quoting it for Kareya, so it sounds like that's where the chayav is. So the pashas, the Dvarim is that this is part of the malacha of Kareya. Whereas Rashi on the spot says, no, Rashi doesn't say anything about Kareya. Rashi says, the reason why you chayav is because of Machme Patish, because you're finishing up a job. Machme Patish has nothing to do with hammers and nails, it has to do with the CS HaKli, Gemara Kli. So here I have this grandiose piece of fabric. It's beautiful and wonderful, but it's useless because I can't get my head inside it. So I go ahead and I cut a hole to fit my head in. Thus is Machme Patish. That's the final touches on the piece of fabric. So the question becomes, why did Rashi have to go running and searching for Machme Patish? It sounds like this is not considered to be Malachas Kareya. What is Chaser? What's felt in Malachas Kareya? Why did Rashi ignore Malachas Kareya here and run to a different Malacha of Machme Patish? So the Ritva on the spot says that the reason why Rashi veered out of Malachas Kareya is because this wouldn't really be Malachas Kareya, because this is Kareya Shalom and Aslit for. Because when you're cutting the hole, you're not planning on resewing. You're going to resew it with your head inside it. You're not going to resew it. So obviously this hole is going to remain that way. So it's an act of Kriya Shalom and Aslit for. Ooh, an act of Kriya Shalom and Aslit for. I didn't say it's Mutal Chachila, but there is it can be. And the Gemara's Losh is Chayv. Chayv always means Chayv there is, Chayv Chatas. So that's what the Rebbe and Mishael, we have this idea that the reason why Rashi veered away from Kareya and stuck it into Malachas Machme Patish is because it actually would have fallen short in terms of Malachas Kareya, because it's missing that condition of Amanas Lidfor. It is clear that what you're doing is for a very, very positive purpose. You're trying to make yourself a shirt to put in, put your head through. And still, the Ritva is claiming with Rashi that you would not be Chayav. If that's the case, so then Rashi is taking a stand on this Chakira. And Rashi is saying that you will not be Chayav Kareya unless it's Pshuto Kemashmo, literally Mamish, 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 Amanas Lidfor. Anything short, even though positive, will not be a Mechayav. If that's the case, then the Rambam, who did learn it's Alos Malachas Kareya, then the Rambam is also taking a stand, the opposite stand, that the Rambam is saying that, nope, you can't be Chayef for Kareya, even if it's Shalom and Aslit for. So what does the Mishnah say on Aslit for? The Mishnah is just trying to highlight that it has to be not Derech Kilpo, it's got to be a Tikkun. So if we could dig up another Tikkun, this is also a Tikkun, this is also a valid Tikkun. So this question, this Chakir that we raise within Malachas Kareya, seems to be a Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. What is the nature of the din of Amanas Lidfor? Is it just to avoid issues of Makalkel? Or is it much deeper than that, to get to the very essence that a heart and soul, the Malacha do me to Mishkan? So the Acharonim have a lot of trouble with this biur in Shittas Rashi. Rav Eger already raises this question. Mishnah Berurah goes to town on this question. It does not seem to be correct. This idea that anybody should insist on being an absolute 100% Amanas Lidfor, that's Chayk V'lo Yavor, that sounds very, very difficult in light of a Gemara that appears in Masechet Shabbos, in Perek Ha'Oreg. The Gemara talks about a person's Kareya Al Mesa B'Shabbos. If a person tears Kriya on Shabbos, now you're not supposed to tear Kriya on Shabbos. So Kriya is a din, a person has to tear Kriya. There are multiple occasions you have to tear Kriya. We usually think of Kriya for relatives or other dinim of Kriya as well. We're a little bit familiar with Kriya from Makom HaMikdash, but there are a whole array of different halachas of tearing Kriya, both for relatives and for other basim and for Chacham Shemais and other events, and a whole array of halachas of Kriya. So if a person is Kareya Mesa, is Kareya in a situation where he's chayef to be Kareya, it's just he's not supposed to be doing it on Shabbos. And he goes in as Kareya Mesa B'Shabbos. So the Gemara says he may be chayef. There's a whole sugi about this. Is it called Malach Shetzir Laguf or not? A whole little bit of a technical issue. But B'Ikaron, the Gemara speaks about the possibility of being chayef. Why is he chayef? He's not planning on reselling the Kriya. Fakir, there are some Kriyas you're not even allowed to resell. Person of Vimo, you're not even allowed to resell the Kriya. So how could the Gemara talk about being chayef? He's not planning, he's not Amanas Lidfor. So the Chari, you see from here clear that you don't need Amanas Lidfor. Amanas what's it for? Is just a way of gauges, a way of measuring. Is it positive? This is very positive. He's yotze bits of kriya. It's chayv skill in the process, but he's yotze, quote unquote, the bits of kriya. So therefore, that would be labeled as a tikkun. So that's a very, very serious kasha. So the Mishnah Berurah was so overwhelmed with his kasha that he thought that it's eivshut to say such a thing. Nobody could really, truly believe that kareya requires an absolutely chayv lo yavra amanaslid for. It just can't be, says the Mishnah Berurah. So going back to the Pesach V'Satzavar, so why does Rashi veer away from Kareya? So Mishabur suggests an interesting Svara, a big Chiddush. Mishabur says that maybe the Tzuras HaMalacha of Kareya is, what I'm doing now is basically an act of Kilkul. If I take a snippet, one frame of what's happening, I just zero in on what's happening now. You see a guy with a knife, and he's holding a piece of fabric, and he's cutting. So it doesn't look right. It looks like it's a gefarlich thing. It's like the Bali Musa, you know, they give the mashal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Yisurin. So if you would just look at that one picture, it looks terrible. It's like the mashal. You would go into an operating room, and you see a surgeon standing there. He's got a big knife in his hand, and this poor patient, they put him to sleep, and he's laying there. If you would just take a picture, you'd see the surgeon's a ritzeach, and the patient's nevach the victim. He's about to kill him. Gefarlich. And then you realize, when you look at the whole story, you see that, Baruch Hashem, because of that the gevald gebal chesed of the surgeon, now the guy is refuah shleim, and now he's able to live the rest of his life normally. So the problem is, we sometimes get caught in one snippet of the story. So you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us a slap, some yisurin or something. So right now, the fee here and now, looks terrible. But if you just look at the whole picture, it looks a little bit different. So the Mishnah Berurah says the exact same thing in Hilchos Kareya. He says that the malacha of Kareya is such, it's a very strange, very modern malacha, that the act itself is really an act of terrible kilkul. Elawat. So why Yechayev? Yechayev because there's a tikkun down the line. What's the tikkun down the line? So one example of the tikkun down the line is amanasa l'tvar. You can have other potential tikkunim down the line. You could have, I was yaitzim and mitzvah kriya. I don't have to tear another shirt. So there could be a half dozen other tikkunim that are not lav dafka amanasa l'tvar. There is no din of mishkan. It's just a din of tikkun. But says the Mishnah Berurah, what would the din be if the tikkun and the kilkul are vasachas? That means the etzim hakriya is an act of tikkun. So this is why it's such a counterintuitive svara. Usually we think the more tikkun there is, the more chayiv you are. Here the Mishnah says, no, the more tikkun, the less chayiv you are. Because the more tikkun you are, the less it's dumi to melachos kareya. That's not the tzura from melachos kareya. Kareya is destroying something and then having something positive emanate from that, whether it's tefira, whether it's yadim shpanim, whatever the tikkun is. When you pasach by satzava, Rashi held that the tikkun is good for the kilkul. The kilkul is good for the tikkun. It's hayu hach. The act of kriya is giving me that place to put my head inside. That's not dumi to the malacha of kriya. This is a different malacha of the gamer. What malacha? We're not saying you potter. We'll nab you for machma patish. We're going to make you chemis anyway. You're not getting away from the base of skill anyway. But in terms of giving you the malachas kriya, that's not going to be. So you see, the Mishabur is mamish turning the world upside down. He's making malachas that are more tikkun into less chayuvim. It's such a strange concept. What do you want from the Mishnah Berurah? Look, Mishnah Berurah is stuck with the Gemara. The Gemara says a Karel Meso is Chayev. How you talking Karel Meso is Chayev? It can't be. It doesn't make any sense according to that model that some Rishonim seem to be saying. So the Mishnah Berurah is a very, very strong believer of this idea that Malachas Kereya does not require Amanas Ledfar. It requires some kind of a tikkun, but Amanas Ledfar doesn't require.
Why is that different than a Karel Meso?
So Kareya Mesa, we could separate the, like, I'm yaitse my obligation, that's like a dove minachot, that's not the etzema kriya itself. Here, the etzema kriya is an act of tikkun. Mishnah Berurah says something along those lines. No svar is a haz of the peldik svar. There is a tesefta that has a comment about Malachas Kareya, which is very, very important for us. We're just not sure what it says. The tesefta says that a kareya or a mialachovis is okay. A guy has a barrel of wine, and he put a piece of a leather, glued on a piece of leather onto the top of the chavis to protect the wine. And now he wants to get to the wine, so he could just rip off the make the scissor, take a knife, and just cut right through the leather and shine. Hope this book is everything's but the farish at the seft. Mishnah Berurah quotes the farish. Korea or me'al chavis is het gomor. So we do it all the time. People open up yogurts, they open up other things that have plastic, strips on top of it, all kind of things to get to the food underneath. Tosefta says it's butter. The only problem is we have no idea why the Tosefta says it's butter. What exactly is the matir? What happened to Malachas Kareya? So there is one opinion in the Gedalei Acharonim that develops as an idea based on this Tosefta, and really before Tosefta, based on a sugya, a mishnah, a gemara, a beitza, that The malacha of kareya was only said when you have two items that were mechuba yachad. The original malacha is when you have garments, you have two pieces of material that are sewn together, I rip apart that sewing, that's called malachas kareya. Or the Rambam extended to, I have two pieces of paper and they're glued together, so medabek and yaris is chayim mishum toifim, a fry pan and yaris, and dukim is chayim mishum kareya. But when I have one entity, one unit, that's bichlal, that's not the parish of kareya. Maybe something else, I don't know what it is. But the kareya, it's not. So one of the Gedolei Acharim writes, therefore, or does it lend itself to malachas kareya bichlal? Or is one unit? Or is a piece of animal skin? I take a scissors and cut the animal skin in half. That's not kareya. If I had two pieces of animal skins that were sewn together with stitching, and then I rip apart the stitches, thus is malachas. And then we can begin to discuss malachas kareya. But if I have one unit, one entity, so that's not even in the parish of malachas kareya. Achidish gold. It's based on that this pasuk explains away. I'll tell you in a second why I'm not quoting the Pesach by name. We'll get to it in a second. That this Adam Godel, this Pesach Godel, says that's Pshat in the Gemara Maseches Beitzah. The Gemara talks about on Yontif, if I want to barbecue on Yontif, so I want to cut a little piece of paper or something to put my piece of meat on. So the Gemara says that's a problem with the Rabbanan. It looks like Tikkun Kli, like I'm trying to make a little nice piece of paper. So the Achorim Abadu, what happened to Kareya? Kareya is also in Yontif. So you're not allowed to do that. I'm not allowed to cut the piece of paper. What happened to Bas Kareya? So all of a sudden, the Sefta is ignoring Kareya by Or. The Gemara in Beitzah is ignoring Kareya by Niyar. What's Pshat? So this Pesach says the answer is the same thing. Niyar is also, Niyar is one entity, is one piece. So Kareya is only when you have pieces that are stitched together, glued together, etc. One unit, one entity of material, one piece of material is Bechlal, not in the parish, not in the Sugya of Malachas Kareya. Who is this great Pesach who said this? This is none other than the Shulchan Aruch Rav. So the Balatan, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, has this idea. So why was I hemming and hawing and not quoting it by name? Because the Mishnah Berurah in the Be'er Halacha is vehemently opposed to the Shita. He gets so upset about the Shita that the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim, is such a helig tzaddik, that because he has so many kashas, so many pirchas against the Shita, and he had such covet godel for the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that he didn't quote him by name. He says, Ra'isi b'paisik yachad, and he's wrong, and he's wrong, and he's wrong, and he's wrong, and he didn't even have to say, by the way, it's a Shulchan Aruch Rav. It says the Mishnah Berurah, if you know, if you're familiar with the Mishnah Berurah, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes Shulchan Aruch Rav. Every other line, there's a quote for Shulchan Aruch Rav. A lot of guys don't know it's Shulchan Aruch Rav that he's quoting, because he always quotes it with the Rashi Tevis, the Graz, the Gimel Rei Zayin, like in Chelik Alpha Shabur, every other one is a quote from the Graz. So the Graz is from Zalman, Shira Zalman, means Shira Zalman Bilati, the Balatan, Shulchan Aruch. Most people, most Yeshivach, when they read this Mishnah Berurah, think he's quoting the Brisker Rav. He says, the Graz, oh, it must be the Griz. The Griz wasn't born when the Mishnah Berurah was written. Anyway, so because the Mishnah Berurah had such covered godel for the Shulchan Aruch Rav, he didn't want to quote him by name, but Lamaisi totally, completely does not accept this Bechlal. So if we don't accept this, so what's pshat in this tesefta? So what's going on? Why are you allowed to rip off just not make a cut, take a scissors and cut through the skin if you don't accept the Shulchan Aruch Rav? So the Mishnah Berurah has a new chiddush. He has a lot of chiddushim. In the sugya of kareya comes one chiddush after another chiddush. He claims that the malach of kareya, the very essence of the malach of kareya, is when a person is kareya something for the use of both of the items that he's being kareya. He quotes up Sagamar in Tainis, based on a pasuk, that Kriya by definition means that I have a same piece of material, and I'm cutting apart the material, I'm ripping apart the threads, I want to use this part, I want to use this part. That's Blachas Kareya. If I have a big piece of something and I'm just making a cut in it for not for the purpose of using the two parts, not because it's a Mokshet Tzich L'Guva. That's just not the truth. That's not what Kareya is. Kareya doesn't mean, Kareya in English means to tear, to rip. That's not what it means in Lashon HaKadosh. But Kareya L'Shnei Kareyim, that I have to be Nichel, I have to want to use the two parts that I'm in Kareya. So therefore, according to Mishnah Berurah, a lot of these things, like Kareya's Or B'Alachavis, I'm just ripping B'Alma. I'm just making a hole in something, just cutting through a scissors with something, I'm not using the items. That's bichlal, not malachas kareya bichlal. So we have a few reasons to explain what this tosefta is all about. We don't really understand Shulchan Aruch Rav. Since it's a tremendous amount of chiddush, I don't think most people didn't say it like that. Mishnah Berurah's chiddush is also a very, very big chiddush. Doesn't say that explicitly in the Gemara and the Rishonim. Are there any other ideas what's going on in the kareya or the Chazon Ish? has his own idea as to what's going on in the Karei Zohar. Karei Zohar Melachavis means that the Chiddush poses a question. It says, are you allowed to peel a banana on Shabbos? Forget about Beirer and Dosh. That's Rabbi Cohen's domain. Forget about those. Is there anything, a new chumri, you can't peel a banana. You know why? It's Karei. A joke. You can't peel an orange. The halacha is kareya. I'm ripping something. Why is it not kareya? So the Chazish says, because that's part of the food. It means that's, I don't want to say in kareya, but this is not a material. This is just an extension of the food itself. So that's not, it's not a malacha, not the tzuris of halacha. So the Chazanish says, what's the difference whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the banana peel to protect the food, or whether you, as the boss of Adam, decided to attach a piece of leather on top of something to protect the wine. It says, whenever you have an item that's whole purpose is just simply to protect the food, it becomes bottled to the food, becomes part of the food, and as part of the food, it's not even in the parish of Malachas Kereya. So we have an array of different mechudish reasons to explain that. Everyone's got to get to the same place. The Tosefta says it's mutter. So the mice, you got to rip through the leather. And we're not quite sure what grandiose chudish in Malachas Kereya is that telling me. Is it telling you, like the Shulchan Aruch Harav, there's no Kereya on one item, one unit? Is it telling me the Mishabur, there's no Kereya when it's not two sides? Is it telling me, like the Chazanish, that the peel is bottle and the wrapper on top of the yogurt is bottle of the yogurt? I don't know. Not clear exactly what exactly the chiddush is. This issue of kereya can potentially impact now on opening packages. We're going to talk hopefully more about opening packages when we get down the line. It's not even clear which malacha we should talk about opening packages. That's going to be a big machlokes. You see, the Chazanish and Rav Moshe, is it on opening cans and packages and all that stuff fundamentally malachas boina, fundamentally malachas soisa. Machlokes merkotz alakotz, but hopefully we got well into next semester to get either one of those two malachas. But every time you open up, let's say, especially a paper package or something, you open up a cardboard or a piece of paper, so you're also ripping. So what happened to Malachas Kereya? So Mistomba, whatever the answer was to why there's no Kereya on the Or Me'alachavis, is probably going to explain why there's no Kereya on the potato chip bag, Me'alach potato chips. I didn't say you could open the bag. You may have binder problems, may have saisa problems, maybe I'm not going to I think we have those on the Malachas. But just Mitam Kereya, why is there no Kereya on the ripping of the opening up of the bag? So one could argue that, according to Shulchan Aruch Harav, you're ripping through just on paper, unless you're ripping the two parts of the paper that were glued together. So according to Shulchan Aruch Harav, maybe fakir, maybe opening up the gluey part may be worse. That's a possibility. Unless one wants to argue that opening up the glue part may be better, because maybe it's a what? Maybe it's a shtickle tfira. Because depending on how we define by back by diapers, remember we said that anything that's going to be open at moment's notice by the customer may be called the Enishel Koyama. So you have to start Mukan Lakan. Forget about Mitah Malachas Ben and Malachas Seis. Just Mitah Malachas Kereya. Is it better to open the gluey part? Is it better to open the non gluey part? So according to Shulchan Aruch Harav, I can hear a Svar Lakan Lakan. But the Mishnah Berurah wasn't Gairus this. He wasn't Mitachais to Shulchan Aruch Harav. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, neither one is really Malachas Kereya, because I don't really, not using anything, I'm just ripping through something to get the something inside. That's not called Malachas Kereya. According to Chazanish, the same way that the Or Me'alachavis is considered to be bottled to the food, so the bag is bottled to the potato chips. So probably Malachas Kereya is the lesser of the issues over here. One could raise a question about, just because we're okay with Malachas Kereya in terms of opening up potato chips, what about opening up other packages? Let's say I have a package of napkins. So I want to rip through the plastic to get to the package of napkins. So according to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that's okay, because the basic engine that's driving the heter is the fact that it's one unit. It's the same one paper by potato chips and by napkins. According to the Mishnah Berurah, it's probably also the same thing, because I don't really want either side of what I'm ripping. According to the Chazanish, that the only reason why the potato chips are mutter is because the bag is bottled to the food. I don't know, is that something unique by food? But the bag is bottled to the napkins? I'm not sure what that means exactly. Let's say I want to open up a box with puzzles inside. So he wants to rip off the paper, so the plastic around it. So the Chazanish Svar probably doesn't apply. Maybe it's for other reasons. So it's not clear exactly whether Kareya should play a role in other kind of packaging. But Kareya, in terms of food, probably is not such a serious problem. Again, for one of those different, the multiple possibilities there at play. Okay, so we move on a little bit to the beginning of the next malacha. We'll just barely be able to get ourselves into the next malacha. We're moving out of garments into the realm of animals and animal skins. Animal skins played a major role in the Binyan HaMishkan. You needed tchashim and elam adam, etc. So you had to do a few things before you get those animal skins. First of all, you had to shecht an animal. Before you shecht it, you got to trap an animal. So tzeda, tzad, is considered to be the first of the malachas of the animal skins. So tzeda is a very, very loaded malacha. For some reason, tzeda was zoicha to get all the terrors to be said about it. All the sugyas about malach shetzich l'gufa, and dover shev iskavin, psikresh, l'nichle, l'lo nichle, one drabban, two drabban, 15 drabban, all the Torahs somehow converge in the Malach of Tzeda. So we're going to use Tzeda not just in terms of Tzeda proper, but in terms of using it almost like a springboard for some of the Yesodas that really permeate so many of Ilchus Shabbos. So when we're dealing with Tzeda, so the Gemara says there are a few things you have to keep in mind in terms of Tzeda. You have to keep in mind, are you really accomplishing anything by doing this act of Tzeda? Just because, you know, I have an animal that's a little bit more constrained than it was a minute ago, that may not necessarily be called Tzeda. You have to take an animal that halachically was not nitzod and then make it halachically called nitzod in order for it to be called the malacha of tzad. So that's a whole sugya in the third pech of Masechas Beitza, about the Masechas Shabbos, all about that topic. What's called mechusat tzeda? What's not called mechusat tzeda? How do you define, how do you know whether any given animal was not nitzod b'tchila and now your action is ending up being tzadit? Some tzad is very simple. If I go ahead and I grab the animal, so obviously the animal's running around with sugar, and I grab it, so I pounce on, I grab it. That's called tzeda. But what if there's a deer shmatirin around the room and I close the doors? So is that called tzeda or not? So now it's got a big room. Depends how big the room is. If the room's like my tiny office, once I got the deer cornered, it's not going anywhere. Got a huge room here. It could be running around. It could be spend the rest of the day running around the room trying to get the deer. So that's the whole sugya. Again, it says Beitz, Mitzvah Shabbos. At what point do we say something is mamish called, I did an act of tzeda, it's no longer called b'chus tzeda. That's one issue you have to take into consideration. Another issue you have to take into consideration is, what item are you being tzad? What is this creature? What animal are you being tzad? So here the Mishnah differentiates between davar sheyesh b'mino tzeda versus davar she'ein b'mino tzeda. So let's say a deer, that's a tzvi. That's the name of the, that's the way the Malach is always presented, that's a tzvi. So a deer is a normal thing people like to trap, other animals people like to trap, either for food or for skins or for fur, whatever, things that are normal to trap. Then you have other things that people don't like to trap. They may trap them because they want to get rid of them, but they don't want to trap them to use them. So that's not called yesh b'mino nitzo. It's called fly, mosquitoes. Average person doesn't have a pet mosquito collection, so that's considered to be ein b'mino nitzo. Then you have certain things that are not 100% clear. Are they yesh b'mino nitzo? Let's say, lemosho, bees. So I don't know, probably most of us today wouldn't consider bees to be something that we're excited about trapping. On the other hand, if you're a beekeeper, and in the old days a lot of people had bees for the honey, for the wax, so maybe that was considered to be yesh b'mino nitzo. So it's not always clear what items are yesh b'mino, what items are not yesh b'mino. Why is it so important to know that? So the Gemara says that if it's yesh b'mino nitzo, then it's a derais. If it's ein b'mino nitzo, then it's only a derabbanan. Why is it only a derabbanan? So Rova Rishonim learn, it's only a derabbanan because it's like it's like abnormal. So here it's a little bit of a chiddush and abnormal. Normally we think that abnormal means I'm carrying something inside my shoe or something, or I'm writing with my left hand, turning on the light with my elbow. I'm doing the action in an abnormal fashion. Here, I'm doing the action in a very, very normal fashion. This is the normal way to trap flies. The other thing is that the cheftza, it's not a keliach yad mitzad the gavra, it's a keliach yad mitzad the cheftza. This is not a cheftza that generally tzeid is done to. So that's also a chiddush. That's also considered to be keliach yad. That's the pashat. But Rashi has a difficult comment in Masechah Shabbos. So Rashi seems to learn that ein b'mino nitzo is tapen not included in the het of keliach yad. Why is it mutter? Because it's melach she'atzich legufa. So Tosfos shows that doesn't seem to fit into the Gemara so well. It's a very, very difficult shittas Rashi. But the pashat varm is like Tosfos that Kaliach Yad covers you on Ein B'mino Nitzot. And again, it's a chiddush in the parsha, in the sugi of Kaliach Yad, that even if something which is Bitzara Cheftza, that's also called Kaliach Yad. It's like the, I don't know if you guys did Chitas Peris yet already with Rabbi Cohen? No? So the Gemara has Chitas Peris. At the end of Masechah Shabbos, if you squeeze grapes and olive, if you squeeze a shura dick of fruit that nobody squeezes, so the Gemara says that's not a malacha. Why is it not a malacha? Because that's called Kaliach Yad. Why is it Kaliach Yad? I'm squeezing it in a normal way. This is how you squeeze it. How else? I'm not throwing it on the floor. This is how you squeeze it. But the chetz that I'm using to squeeze is not normal. So that's also considered to be a shekel Kaliach Yad as well. Anyway, hopefully, next week we'll try to pick up in terms of Seder. Just